eating Scotch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
Would you forget what show you're on?
Nope. I totally remember. That was a dramatic pause.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
And this week,
that's what that sounds like.
This week on our show, we've got movies to talk about, as always. We have Tom Cruise, Cameron Diaz team-up known as Night and Day, the most inexplicably confusing title of the year so far. And
yeah, we'll talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, and we're also going to talk about Grown Ups, which I intentionally skipped because, despite the fact that it has a bunch of funny people in it, it did not look funny at all. So we'll see.
Okay.
What Kevin has to say about that. But before we get into all that, here's how you can get a hold of us. Go over to fatguysinthemovies.com, and you'll find all of the ways, including iTunes. Go to iTunes and subscribe to our show and review us and things and whatnots. And you can email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com, or leave us a voicemail, 614-388-8735. You can also get us on Twitter or Facebook.
That's right.
That's
right. You can get me on Twitter at Kevin... at twitter.com/KevinCarr, Neil at twitter.com/rejects.
Yes, twitter.com/ugh.
Yeah, bleh.
Anyway.
How do you spell that?
So what's up this week, Kevin?
Oh, not much. We're going to review some movies, and yeah, that's about it. We you know what is funny? During the show prep, people don't hear it, and not that anyone would want to, but we were just very disinterested in the movies this week. We struggled.
Well, it's a very, and you know what, for the, you know, last week of June, essentially, it's a very boring week.
Yeah.
However, it is this...
Was that another dramatic pause?
Yes, it is in this weird spot in between some of the other big June releases, like, you know, you had Toy Story 3, which is a huge release. And the July 4th slate, which is kind of big with Last Airbender and Twilight and whatnot.
Twilight's officially a June release, and The Last Airbender is officially July, even though they're the same weekend.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, they're both aiming for that July 4th weekend. So I think it's kind of this interesting Bermuda Triangle of film releases where these are the movies that, you know, I don't know, that wouldn't even compete with the other movies that are coming out before or after them. You know?
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit more about sort of like the audience love or dislove for movies this summer and sort of what might cause that. And there might actually be a Fat Guy Second Reel episode on Fat Guys in the Movies coming up in the next week or so, sort of talking about sort of like the midsummer look at the way the business has been for the halfway through the summer. But more on that later. But let's go to the first movie. You want to review this? Because you actually saw it. Oh, you know what? I'm not going to read it, but we did get a... There was a review on iTunes for Fat Guys of the Movies, The Feed. Mm-hmm. And you can listen to it. If you go to The Idiot Boxers, the last episode of The Idiot Boxers, we read it. And I haven't read it on here because they're not a fan of Neil Miller, whoever wrote this review.
Really?
Yeah.
I have to read this.
Oh, now you have to go and find
it. I think we should read it in the second segment. Because I don't think we're going to have enough to say when we're talking about grown-ups.
Okay. We'll read that
in the next segment.
Yeah, you'll...
I can't wait!
I was afraid to read it because I was afraid that I wouldn't have you as a co-host after
this.
Is it
profane?
No, it's not profane. Aww. It's just very... Let's just say it's very dismissive of your hosting capabilities.
Well... And...
And okay, but let's move on with Night and Day. In this one, Tom Cruise plays a spy who gets mixed up with a regular girl, and they get on the run from the U.S. government.
I want to talk about this guy. He was like some sort of secret agent or something. No. Okay.
Hi, June. Maybe I didn't make it clear enough, but we're gonna have to stick together.
I'm sorry. Who are you?
This is the guy.
I'm a guy.
He's the guy.
I'm the guy.
The guy.
Please,
Ronnie,
for your own
listen,
safety.
Whatever happens,
please stay in the booth.
What are you talking about?
Everybody, get down! No one follows us, or I kill myself and then her.
You take first crack.
I'll tell you this. After the abysmal situation that was that Killers movie with Ashton Kutcher and that chick.
That chick.
Yeah.
Anyway, Katherine Heigl, Eva from Grey's Anatomy.
You know, I had great hope for Night and Day, because, you know, Tom Cruise is very funny when he's kind of off the rails. Cameron Diaz.
The trailer looked wicked awesome too.
Yeah, and it looked like a fun action comedy, and as it turns out, it was this very interesting cross genre experiment where it's action comedy drama. There's a little bit of Hitchcock in there. It's kind of a cool movie, but it wasn't a good action movie. So it was a little underwhelming, I guess. And I really learned two things from it. One, Cameron Diaz is not from Boston, no matter how hard she tries. And two is that James Mangold is not really an action director. You know, I mean, I Walked the Line's one of my favorite movies of the last 10 years.
That's not exactly an action
movie. It's not an action movie, obviously. It's a good character piece. It's a good biopic. But I think what we learned from We Own the Night and then this is that he really doesn't have an eye for shooting quality action sequences. However, I think I had some fun with Night and Day. I don't think that it's a waste of your money if you want to go see it. Tom Cruise was very entertaining. Some of the action works, not all of it, but some of it. The story kind of between the two of them works for the most part. Uh-huh. And I'm sure you could do much worse this weekend.
Yeah. So. Well, I mean, there's worse films out there, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Here's the thing for me with Night and Day is it reminds me, I recently just watched, because I got on Blu-ray, The Jackal with Bruce Willis and Richard Gere as an IRA guy. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those movies I totally forgot existed until I got the Blu-ray, and I'm like, right. Oh yeah, this came out about 12 years ago or so. And I watched it. It wasn't bad. It had some neat action. But it had some problems with it. And, you know, Richard Gere was one of the biggest problems. And I'm like, well, okay, well, it wasn't totally even, but it wasn't a waste. And it was one of those things that if you're flipping through television, you might watch it again. Mm-hmm. And like you said, you could do a lot worse. The action is okay, but it kind of ends in the middle of it. It's all very front-loaded. And the biggest thing I noticed is they shouldn't be doing close-ups of Cameron Diaz at her age. And she's only like 37. She's like my age.
Yeah.
But she's really, 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 really puffy. And I watched Vanilla Sky, which she and Tom Cruise were in about 9 years ago. And she looks a lot better. She hasn't held her looks just because she's pushing 40, and the close-up isn't quite working out so well. And both of them, they also do this, there's a scene in there where they both go to the beach and they're in bathing suits and they're attractive, and if I saw him just at the pool, I'd be like, he's in great shape for a guy who's pushing 50, and she's in great shape for a woman pushing 40, but they're not quite Hollywood gorgeous mm-hmm. anymore. That's not really a criticism as much as I don't know if it works, but it just this movie felt like the studio meddled with it so much that they didn't get what originally they were going for.
Right.
Whereas Mr. and Mrs. Smith was even throughout the whole thing, kind of like the same tone. They got the joke. The first half of this movie doesn't fit with the second half. Because mm-hmm. once you get to the second half, you're like, well, wait, then why was he like this in the first half? And it's like he's all wacky and zany, and you're like, but he's really not wacky and zany. There's no reason for him to have been like that. There's such a shift, and it's like the studio was like, no, we need to spruce up the beginning or make the ending serious or something, and that's yeah. I mean, it's still fun, but I mean, I give it a kind of rocks.
I'm saying kind of sucks, though.
Really?
Well,
it kind of sucks.
When a movie's trailer is far better than the movie itself, that's not good. Not a good thing.
That'll do.
Nope. Definitely not.
All right. We're going to a break.
And we're back here on Fat Guys at the Movies, as if you thought we would go anywhere.
Well, we didn't.
We didn't. No, we're still here. Anyway, so we're moving on to another film this week, and I guess, you know, I should probably explain why I didn't see this movie, and I believe it has something to do with I didn't want to drive across town and
see this movie.
I'm completely ambivalent to this movie, because I will say this.
Mm-hmm.
Bunch of funny people in this movie. People who have been, or dare I say, were funny in days past. Adam Sandler, Schneider, all these guys. Nothing about the marketing of this film made it look funny to me. In fact, there were scenes in the trailer that I thought were actively working against the concept of funny.
Wow.
And of course, I'm talking about Grown Ups, in which Adam Sandler, Rob Schneider, David Spade, Chris Rock, Kevin James play old high school buddies who have a reunion after their beloved coach dies.
The guy I always tell you about, Rob?
Of course. Oh, and this must be your mother.
My wife.
I'm sorry.
I'm not.
Oh, grody.
No more cell phones from now on. Stay outside and play.
What are we supposed to do?
You see a rope and a lake and that doesn't make you want to go nuts?
Class is in session.
Go baby! Yeah.
Whee! Too high! This was a mistake!
Let go! I can't let go! I'm too scared!
Do you remember the movie The Benchwarmers?
It's funny you mention that. After seeing this, I went and I looked up, because it's directed by Dennis Dugan.
Yeah.
And I looked up his stuff, and for me, he's a giant hit or miss director. He's done some stuff that I thought was very funny. He did Big Daddy.
Full of heart.
Yeah, full of heart, very funny, Adam Sandler. And then he also did movies like Saving Silverman, which sucked.
Wasn't as bad.
It was awful.
He did the Zohan movie.
Did the Zohan, which was kind of right in the middle. I thought it was better than I thought it would be.
The Benchwarmers.
I liked the Benchwarmers, though.
That was an awful movie.
It was terrible, but it wasn't trying to be
huge. No, it was really terrible.
No, this one was worse. And here's the thing. This movie is nothing but just an excuse to get these guys together.
Seems like it.
I watched it. First of all, it actually made national news, a huge traffic accident in Columbus, Ohio on Tuesday night, which is when the screening was. I got completely caught in it. And I sped through six school zones. Sped through six school zones. I ran over cats and young children to get to the screening in time because I was so late.
Right.
And
so this movie caused several deaths.
Basically. But no, I saw it, so I made such an effort to get there, and then I watched the movie and I'm like, wow, this is just not what it should have been at all.
I can't believe I killed all those people to get to this movie.
But at least I didn't have to pay for it at midnight on Thursday. That was the big consolation. But here's the thing, there's no story to it. It's just these kids, these guys who've grown up, they were in a basketball team when they were kids and they've grown up and gone their separate ways. And they come back together for the coach's funeral, and it's just them sort of just hanging out for the weekend. There's really no story, and they have the obligatory, the kids, their kids are having problems, and they all just kind of find themselves over the weekend. But even then, it's just, it doesn't have the heart. And it starts off with Adam Sandler. He plays a famous Hollywood agent or sports agent or a movie, I forget what it is. And I'm like, again, Adam Sandler playing a Hollywood... Was he going to get cancer in this movie, too? Because that's totally what I was expecting. And part of the other thing is, from a parent's perspective, the kids in the movies, all the people's kids, were all punks. I mean, ass punks. They were bad kids. And I'm like, well, that means you're an awful parent because they're awful kids, and it's not going to get fixed at a weekend at a cabin with your buddies.
Yeah.
And it has... It's literally, there are scenes that you can tell they just sat them together and said, oh, just improv something funny. And as funny as improv is, scripted comedy tends to work out better because you can work the jokes through. And if you just throw, and they're repeating jokes and they have scenes. There's this one scene in there. I'm not even going to go into what it is, but it involves, it just is awkward and it doesn't work right. It's not funny. The characters are terrible. They interact in such the most bizarrely inappropriate and dumb ways. I didn't laugh. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple funny moments. But overall, it's not a good movie. It's really bad.
I'd like to say that this is disappointing.
Disappointing to that I didn't like it, or just disappointing?
That it's not good. But it's not disappointing. It's exactly what you would expect. Having watched the trailer for this movie, so I regret not seeing it, because I like to
You like to pile on when everybody's
the skin from a bad movie just as much as any other guy.
Let's put it this way. It was more entertaining to watch Salma Hayek and the junket freak out over the snake than to actually watch any part of this movie.
Have you seen the Happy Boobs video? Speaking of Salma Hayek.
No, I haven't. Should I? I'm thinking I should.
You absolutely should. It's a Belgian company that makes brassieres, maternity brassieres.
Uh-huh.
And it's not pregnant women, so don't think that I'm weird. But it's just three women kind of move into a beat.
Bouncing.
And the only reason I thought of this is because if you go to Google and you type happy boobs into the Google search, the first thing that comes up is Salma Hayek.
Well, they are happy.
Yeah.
Let's just say. Here's the other thing. Salma Hayek's in it. She's gorgeous. Maria Bello's in it. She's gorgeous. I mean, Maria Bello looks good for her age. I'm totally cool with Maria Bello. Maya Rudolph, who was fantastic in Away We Go. I'm getting tired of seeing her in a movie as a pregnant girl, though. Because she's pregnant in this. I'm like, wait, there's all these rehashed things. Like, she's pregnant. Adam Sandler's a famous guy who, you know, made it big. But, I mean, Maya Angelou, she doesn't have... Not Maya Angelou. That would be funny. Maya Angelou is Chris Rock's wife in this movie. But Maya Rudolph was...
This movie does terrible. Not even want to be reviewed on this show.
it's so awful. Should we... So it sucks. It's just a full-on suck for me. Can we go ahead and move on to something that's better, which would be your...
I guess.
The iTunes review that we got?
Yeah, let's hear this thing. I can't wait to see... I care so much.
Well, it was a 5-star review of the feed from Scorn Dog. On June 7th.
Scorn Dog.
Yeah.
Are you sure it's not? His name's not Steve Corn Dog or something?
No, because the
Corn Dog.
No, because the S is capitalized, the C is lowercase.
Maybe he's. Never mind.
Go ahead. Okay. Well, it goes on and basically.
I know that he's not nice to me, so I'm going to start making fun of him right away.
There you go. It gives me props for my movie reviews and the DVD things, and then it gives props to me and Meryl for the Idiot Boxers, and it gives props to Celluloid Spotlight with Meryl and Hash. Well, then it goes. I'll just read this so you can bask in the glory. Finally, you have the actual Fat Guys of the Movies podcast with Kevin and Neil, which talks about the latest movies. Unfortunately, this is my least favorite of the bunch, and I lay blame squarely on Neil. Neil doesn't display any passion on the podcast. It sounds like he's being forced to do the podcast against his will, which I did reveal on the Idiot Boxers. That's because I have your family trapped in my basement. So,
well,
that's true.
I mean, this guy's pretty much nailing it on the head so far.
You have to. He seems to have hardly ever seen the movies that they are discussing, and it's constantly, constantly overusing the phrase, fair enough.
Fair enough.
This itself makes me want to turn this one off. Better are the episodes where Kevin has a guest host. They are great. Still, don't let Neil ruin this feed.
I need to tell my mom to stop making comments as Scorn Dog.
It might be Fozzie Bear angling for another guest host, or maybe Kelly Gingery.
You know, much to this guy's comment, I really just don't care.
That's what makes you so awesome, apparently.
But okay, well, he's got one thing right. The Idiot Box is a pretty good show.
Well, thank you. I appreciate
enjoy it.
That.
Yeah, I've listened to like one of them.
Well, that's good.
I am not doing... never mind. It's not even worth getting into. Who cares?
Well, but I think... I was explaining on the Idiot Pocket. I was explaining this to Meryl. I said, well, this is... It's sort of like you're the straight man.
Am I?
Yeah, apparently. I still think, you know, this is the seminal Fat Guys in the Movies podcast. I mean, this is the one that started it all. This even predates Reject Radio. So, I mean, we're awesome.
Yeah.
We're older than Slash.
Yeah, no,
Fat
Guys in the Movies is, it's a legacy thing.
That's right.
Really. And that's the only reason I do it, is because you can't stop once you've gone so far. And I'm not going to.
It's like being hooked on heroin. That's what this show is. That's
plus, Kevin's got my family in a basement somewhere.
Instead, I didn't say it was my basement. Yeah. A basement somewhere.
A basement somewhere in the country.
Fair enough.
Wow, well, I don't... my life has not changed in this segment. So we're going to go to a break. in which if you'd like to turn off the show, you can turn it off. When we come back, we're going to talk about box office and do a very fun Fat Guy 5.
Boom.
Miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck. Oh yeah.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. Neil has he had to take a moment and compose himself because he was so sick.
This segment is sponsored by my passion for boobs.
I love boobs. I'm a huge boob fan.
Everybody. Video that I was talking about earlier is called Happy Boobs Make Happy People.
Oh.
It's great.
Well, let me just go on. I'll go ahead and explain this thing from grown-ups, because this is not a segment that airs on the radio in Wyoming.
Nice.
So we won't get kicked off. There's a whole subplot where Kevin James and Maria Bello have a son that's still breastfeeding at the age of 4.
Oh,
so
that's creepy.
She's got huge boobs, and she's lactating. Let's just say they have a bit of a accidental milkmaid spray going on with Maya Rudolph. And first of all, if you know anything about boobs and breastfeeding, it just plain doesn't work that way. You don't get a steady stream like pee. It doesn't physically work that way.
I really don't want to continue this conversation any further.
This is why, and it's so stupid.
I don't think I breastfed when I was young.
I whenever I get a chance, I do. You usually have to pay an extra $50 for that.
On top of the happy ending. Oh, ew. Oh,
oh no, on top of it, all mixed together. Oh,
please, no.
Yeah. Okay,
never
we have
again.
Nobody we, listening
we've
anymore.
We've officially doubled our listenership. That corn dog guy is probably really happy with this show, because we're talking about, this is the passion segment. We're talking
that
about
is.
Boobs. We're talking about money. We're talking about
mixing
hamburgers.
Melty substances together.
We're
yeah,
talk about
we will be talking about
before
hamburgers.
This segment is over. Yes.
But before, and let's talk about box office.
Yeah. Hey, did you know that this past weekend was the highest weekend of the year so far? Total box office.
Just total box office?
Yeah.
I'm not surprised because...
I'm sorry. Highest of the summer. There was a weekend in February. What the heck? Oh, Valentine's,
no, you know what
Valentine's
was
Day weekend was higher, well, total.
Well, because you still had Avatar making money, and you had Alice in Wonderland. So both of those.
It was when Wolfman, Valentine's Day, and Percy Jackson came out at the same time.
Yeah, the beginning of this year was so high, the reason that the box office is still good
because
of Avatar and Alice in Wonderland. Those are the two things that made a lot of money,
anyway,
and they're offsetting the low attendance.
But
the
before this, the highest weekend was $191 million last weekend with Toy Story 3 out in front at number one at $110 million. Would I say 100? I'd be disappointed if it didn't make $100 million. I am not disappointed, my friend.
That's right.
The Karate Kid was in second at $29 million, which I believe we both pretty accurately predicted it would fall there. A-Team, $14 million. Jonah Hex is the story of the week, coming in at number 7 at $5.3 million, further solidifying Megan Fox's position as box office poison.
Irrelevant.
Outside of her work with Michael Bay, she has not done anything ever.
Well, you know, here's the thing with Megan Fox is I don't necessarily think she drives people away from a movie. She just doesn't give people a reason to go. She gives people a reason to buy a copy of Maxim.
Right.
But not to go actually see a movie.
Right. When you look at, Jennifer's Body opened at $6.8 million, Jonah Hex opening at $5.3 million. Jonah Hex should have opened much bigger. It's a big action movie in the middle of the summer, going up against a cartoon
that's not stealing any of its audience away from it.
So very interesting to see Jonah Hex take such a big dive.
Here's one of the things I'm gonna bitch about box office pundits for a minute, because you and I got in an disagreement about how stupid people are when they analyze movies. And I basically have said some people are just rock stupid, and you kind of gave them a little bit more benefit of the doubt. Here's the thing. Somebody said, literally, I read this on
Literally said it.
Literally said this, that they attribute part of the reason, I think it's may have been a studio exec, either at Warner Brothers or a rival studio, attributed the poor box office of Jonah Hex to the fact that they had a good-looking star, Josh Brolin, and they covered part of his face with a prosthetic. Which I'm like, that has nothing to do. Nobody sat there and was like, I'm not going to go see this because you can't see Josh Brolin's beautiful mug.
You know, nobody saw it or didn't see it. That it's possible.
You really think that the fact that he had a scarred face is what kept people away, or the fact that this movie was riddled with production problems, nobody got behind it?
Well, I don't think most audiences care about production problems.
Well, but it didn't get any buzz. Nobody cares, and it's a tertiary character at best of the DC universe. No, I read DC.
Hard character or concept for mainstream audiences to get their minds around.
Yeah, but
because
they
just made it out to be an action movie. And what's interesting about Jonah Hex is that he's got these supernatural powers, at least in the books. And what they made it into was just like a Western movie with a guy with a messed up face.
But nobody didn't see it because they had covered his face. I honestly find it impossible to believe that somebody would be like, I'd go see that movie if I could see
it. That would have something to do with people ignoring it.
I don't think it had anything to do with anything.
I don't think anyone was like indignant about it. I don't think anyone was like, God, that guy's face is messed up. I'm not going to go see this. But
that's what I'm saying. So you agree with me.
They could have seen that and dismissed it. They could have like seen the preview and been like, I don't get it, and dismissed it.
Well, I don't think it has anything to do with the fact he had a scar on his face. I really don't think anyone was like, oh, wait, I just don't get it. This guy has a scar on his face. I'm not seeing that because I want to see Josh Brolin.
Well,
that'd be like sitting there saying, well, they shouldn't have had him ride a black horse instead of a white horse or a brown horse. Nobody would care.
Well, sure, nitpicking, but I think that on a subconscious level, it's not about people not wanting to go see it. Having a hero that people want to see.
But it has nothing to do with his face. They said the same. People were talking about Valkyrie when it came out. They're like, there was literally box office reports saying, well, people may not see this because Tom Cruise has an eye patch. I literally saw reports like that. I'm like, nobody's going to sit there and say, oh, I'm not going to see a Tom Cruise movie if I can't see his gorgeous face. Nobody talks like, nobody acts like that in real life. I mean, by argument, you'd be like, well, I'm not going to go see Avatar because Zoe Zendella is a computer generated. I don't want to see that. I want to see Zoe Zendella. You know, I mean, that just it's attributing something that makes that's a non-issue and making it like the reason the movie does or doesn't do well.
Right. Well, I think though, it's interesting because in a case like this with Jonah Hex, it's almost inexplicable why this movie did so poorly.
Oh, I don't think so. I didn't have
it.
Did you see it?
It's not a quick and easy one. I didn't see it yet. I'm going to go see it because I'm still curious. But it's
Jonah
not
Hex
an easy
is a direct,
thing to explain.
It's a direct-to-video movie. If you watch it, it's a direct-to-video movie. And I think it dovetails into a bigger thing. A lot of movies, with the exception of Toy Story and The Karate Kid, there is no other movie that is... You can say... Iron Man 2, to a degree, didn't disappoint but even then, it's not doing better than the original. Mm-hmm. Everything else has had lower numbers this summer. I mean, sometimes to a huge degree, like something like Robin Hood just did not do well in American audiences. And I think part of it is, right now, we're in a recession. Hollywood as a whole raises ticket prices. And there's a lot of people that are just like, well, you're not only raising ticket prices, but you're doing it in a recession. I'm not going to go see them if I can go get them on Redbox in 3 months. You know, there's nothing that's drawing people to the theater.
Yeah, and I think that this seems to be the year of discontent for mainstream film in the sense that people are getting tired of the lack of good storytelling going on.
Well, I think part of it also
creative blockbuster movie creation. You know, there's nothing interesting about these big honking movies. You know, Iron Man just rode in on the coattails of the first one.
Well, you know, they're not giving you a reason to go see the movies, right. And it's not everyone's been. Well, you know what's funny is a lot of people have been going after saying, "Oh, well, it's because of remakes and sequels." And I was reading something on Box Office Mojo, and it was like 20 years ago. It was like the top five movies, like three of them were sequels. I mean, it's just like or a reboot. Like one of them was Dick Tracy, I think, or something like that. That was like a previous. Hollywood hasn't changed, so remakes and sequels. It's not the reason. It's just the movies aren't as good, and there's nothing that's driving people to the theater.
Right. Well, you either have to have great spectacle or great substance or a healthy mix of both, and a lot of these movies just don't have either. Yeah. You know, you look at Robin Hood. The spectacle wasn't, you know, the substance wasn't there, and the spectacle wasn't even that great. Yeah. So they're not gaining any momentum. And then you have a movie like Toy Story 3 that comes along, and it's a great film. And of course it makes $110 million, and of course it'll probably be one of the highest grossing movies of the summer.
So bottom line, box office, Toy Story is going to win.
Yeah, Toy Story is going to win this week, and I think Night and Day is not going to do so well, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Because I think it's probably a better movie than I'd give it credit for being. But Grown Ups will probably come in number two.
I think Night and Day.
I think
Grown Ups
to me feels like that movie that is not good that will still do well.
I don't think it's going to do that well.
And by I mean open to $30 million.
I think you're going to. It's. I think both of them are going to be lucky over the 3 day to get $25 million. They both lucky.
Interesting.
And the reason for that is take Marmaduke for example. Marmaduke had about as much substance, and it hits that animated animal audience. It hits the Alvin and the Chipmunks audience, but nobody went to go see it. And I think Grown Ups is going to be kind of the same thing. Let's do the Fat Guy Five real quick.
Yes, because this is going to be fun.
Explain this.
Anything to say about Grown Ups or Night and Day. We didn't have any good themes to go with. And then we started talking in the show prep about the Friendly's Grilled Cheese Burger Melt.
Yes.
Which is two grilled cheese sandwiches that make up the buns of a hamburger.
Yes.
And it's a 1,500 calorie dish from Friendly's, which is a restaurant that I loved when I grew up in Ohio.
And
I used to go there all the time.
It's not known for being like
it's not really known for its food.
Well, it's not known for its ice cream is really what
I couldn't really tell you what my favorite Friendly's food is cuz yeah, the ice cream's just so effing good.
Yeah, the ice cream's great. The food's just your basic. It's like, you know like TGI Fridays,
it's like,
Chili's,
you know,
kind
Applebee's
of stuff.
Food.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this sandwich is going to put them on the map, though. This thing's crazy.
I may have to go to Friendly's this weekend.
We started talking about some of the more intense sandwiches that we've ever had that could rival the grilled cheese cheeseburger.
Yes.
And we came up with a pretty solid list of things that you could eat in various locations. A lot of these are in, they're either at chains or they're in Austin or Columbus because those are the two cities we're most familiar with.
Yeah.
So
Start? I'll do the first. The first one has to be the Double Down at KFC, simply because it made so much news earlier this year when it came out, and everyone's like, "Oh my God, your head's gonna explode if you eat it." But it's an awesome sandwich.
Sure,
I have. It's also it's not as big as people think it is. The commercials make it look enormous. It makes it look like it's 5 inches thick, and it's not. And when they say chicken breasts, let's just say that this chicken is much more of a Keira Knightley chicken than a Salma Hayek chicken.
Yeah.
In terms of breast size.
Right. It's not quite as happy.
No.
Anyway, speaking of things that are happy, this is the Thurman Burger at the Thurman Cafe in Columbus in German Village. And I can't believe you've never had one of these.
I don't think I've actually had the Thurman Burger. I may have to
have
go
get
Have
you been
one.
To Thurman's?
Oh, yeah, I've been to Thurman's. I used
Thurman's
to work in German Village.
Is
so,
pretty
yeah.
incredible.
It's a great
place. The Thurman Burger,
Maybe I'll go. I go down to the brewery district to do my CD101 appearance. I may have to go down and maybe I'll just go get a Thurman burger tomorrow.
When I come back to Columbus, no matter what, I will get a Thurman burger. And here's what it has on it. It is loaded with there's a burger. Ham, mozzarella, American cheese, lettuce, tomato, mushroom, sautéed onions, pickles, peppers, mayo, chips, and a pickle spear. And this thing is, I would have to say,
and a quart of mayonnaise.
If you put your two hands together, that's what fits. Like, it put them into a ball, them into a fist, and hold them together. That's what's inside the buns.
Wow.
It's I took Brian Gibson and my brother there once, and they almost didn't make it out alive.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was one.
And I've met both Brian Gibson and your brother.
They're big dudes.
They can eat burgers.
They can eat burgers. So so there you go.
Yeah. Well, the next one is the Pounder at Cheeseburger in Paradise. It's
another
basically
good restaurant that they don't have here in Austin. That sucks.
Oh, it's great. I mean, it's basically 2 half-pound burgers in a bun. And if you eat it, you don't get it for free. But if you eat it in like 30 minutes, you get your picture on the wall. And of course, I had to do it. I went there and I just sucked it down in like 10 minutes. And they were kind of impressed. So at the Cheeseburger in Paradise in Hilliard, Ohio, there's a picture of me on the wall.
There's a picture
mustard
of you
in
on
my
the
beard.
Wall.
Yes.
Nice.
There's a lot of pictures. It's not hard to eat this
Another one that has a lot of lore here in, for people who have traveled in between Los Angeles and Austin, which is a lot of people I know, actually, there is a quadruple bypass burger at the Heart Attack Grill in Chandler, Arizona.
I totally have to. I have not been to Chandler, but when I go, I will eat this.
Well, this is the kind of place that celebrates the fact that their food will kill you. In fact, if you're over 350 pounds, you eat for free.
Yeah.
At this particular restaurant. And this quadruple bypass burger is 4 gigantic patties and 8 slices of cheese and onions and a half pound of mayo, I'm sure. But it is it's legendary around here.
I can't wait to go there. I haven't been out west in a couple years, and when I go out west, I'm totally eating this.
For sure.
The next one is the Double Big Mac. Not a whole lot of people know about this, but at least locally, and this may be a local thing because Columbus is a test market for a lot of things.
Yeah.
And they used to
like
have
Wendy's
a...
Wendy's breakfast.
Yeah.
God, that's so good.
I haven't been to do this lately, but there's a McDonald's that they'll sometimes have McDonald's open 24 hours, and they have a late night menu. And the late night menu, on the late night menu, they had the Double Big Mac. Mm-hmm. Which is completely fracking stupid because you cannot get a regular Big Mac. It's basically twice the size of a Big Mac. They have twice. They basically have quarter pounder patties instead of the Big Mac patties, and they put it on a Big Mac. So it's twice, like almost twice the size of the Big Mac. You cannot get a regular Big Mac, which is so stupid because if you're getting a burger at 3 a.m, to say, oh no. If you're gonna eat a Big Mac, you gotta have the Double Big Mac at 3 a.m. because that's all you're allowed to eat. It's just the most ridiculous thing in the world. On to the honorable mentions. Another Columbus thing is the Dagwood Challenge, which is at the Ohio Deli in Columbus. This actually was on an episode of Man vs. Food, as was the Thurman Burger. By the way,
I really should be the Man vs. Food guy.
You should, because the Dagwood Challenge, if you eat it in an hour, you get it for free, but it's like 2 to 2.5 pounds of lunch meat on a sandwich with cheese, and the bun's significant. I mean, it's not just a wispy bun. It's a nice solid bread, and you get fries and you get a soda. You have to eat all that, and you get it in an hour. You get it for free. I have yet to go do that.
Yeah.
Nice. I will though.
Well, I'm sure you will.
And then one more, the Atomic Burger at the Cajun Cafe. This is an honorable mention because it doesn't exist anymore. I don't think the Cajun Cafe exists. There may be one called that, but it was a chain. Mm-hmm. I think something like that. I ate this, it was about 20 years ago, 15, 20 years ago. And it just had peppers, just ground up peppers on it. And it didn't have much flavor to it because it was just the heat. So I had to put like Tabasco on it to give it a little bit of a flavor. And I ate it. It was the hottest thing I've ever eaten in my life. So bad that I felt it moving through me. I knew at what stage in my intestines it was because I could feel it moving through me. So there may be a reason the restaurant doesn't exist anymore.
Nice. Well, I will say this. Since moving to Austin, I've eaten about 8 of the 10 best burgers I've ever had in my life. There are tons of places here. So someday I'll do a top 10 or a top 5 just places to eat burgers in Austin.
Yeah. I think I'm going to have to go have a Thurman burger tomorrow, and I may have to go down to the Ohio Deli sometime.
You really need to eat a Thurman burger in my honor. Because I miss that, you know, of all the things I miss about living in Columbus, which is a short list.
Well, I'm one of them.
That is definitely one of them.
Right after
Thurman Cafe. Yeah, you're not on the list.
Ah, damn.
Anyway, we're going to break. When we come back, we're going to wrap you up and get you out of here. And we are wrapping up here on Fat Guys at the Movies, and if you missed it, I would highly recommend going back and listening to our world-famous third segment.
The last half of the first half just got gross.
It got gross, actually. There was some stuff on some... I don't know.
Let's not go into it, no.
But we talked about hamburgers, which made me really hungry.
I so want a hamburger
About 5 minutes of hamburger talk, and now I need to go get one. So thank you, Fat Guys at the Movies. You have once again kept me fat.
That's our job.
Okay, time to move on to another famous segment, the DVD Roundup. You really are hamburgers on the brain.
I am thinking of hamburgers. I don't have the energy to do the whipping noise.
Nice. Well, I've got a few picks this week, only three. Hung, the Thomas Jane-led HBO series, is out on DVD and Blu-ray.
It's not about William Hung, is it?
No, but it's really interesting. It's about a guy who...
we're on the radio. He's well endowed.
He's well endowed, but he's out of money. He's living in the recession. He lives in Detroit. This is like the worst place to live in this particular recession, and also because it's Detroit. And so he starts using his natural talents to earn money, and it's very interesting, funny, heartfelt show. Moving on, we also have Green Zone, the Matt Damon-led Iraq War movie, probably the second best Iraq War movie I've seen in, 5 years.
Matt Damon.
It's pretty good. It's more because it's kind of a decent crime action story than it is, more than
for the most part, it stays out of politics until you get right to the end, and then they just throw a lot of it in your face.
Well, and that, but even, I mean, the politics kind of makes sense. You know, it's not a movie making a statement about the actual war. Yeah. It's just the politics exist in that situation, which I think is, it's probably a good way to go. Although it is Paul Greengrass, so bring your
stabilizers.
Car sickness meds. Anyway. Also, She's Out of My League, which is a decent rental this weekend with Jay Baruchel and Alice Eve. Decent rental because Alice Eve is in it, and she is a very attractive lady.
I liked her better in Sex and the City, too.
It's, I will say this about, more. She's, no, I didn't.
no, I'm saying you saw more. If you would have seen it, you would have seen
it. Well, I've seen Crossing Over. Well, she's really naked in that movie.
I do need to see that one.
But it's kind of funny for a very kind of throwaway comedy. There's a few decent supporting performances there from the likes of like T.J. Miller, who's very good in it. So
I don't like Jay Baruchel. He annoys me.
Okay, your turn.
Okay, I'm gonna take a couple smaller ones. There's The Maid from Oscilloscope and Timer from Phase 4. Those are some smaller things. There's also A Star Is Born, which is Judy Garland. Warner Brothers is on DVD and Blu-ray, re-released. Death Race 2000 on Blu-ray. There's a one that needed a Blu-ray release, and we have it now. We have David Carradine looking very bad in just underpants at one point, but he's scarred up. Death Race 2000 is an awesome movie, though. There's River World. Did you ever see River World?
Nope.
It's a sci-fi TV movie. Well, it was a miniseries. It was on for 2 nights, 2 hours each, and it's out on DVD and Blu-ray now, based on Phillips Jose Farmer's classic series. Not a great sci-fi movie adaptation, but it's way better than like you know, giant tarantula versus brontosaurus man or something like that. But the big one, my big pick this week, is Tom and Jerry Deluxe Anniversary Collection. I love Tom and Jerry. They've collected some of the best bits, not just the cartoons, but little bits like with them dancing with like Gene Kelly and that sort of thing. It's a fantastic collection of Tom and Jerry short films and cartoons. So that's what I got to say about that. My stomach just growled.
Because now you're thinking about burgers.
I want a burger so bad.
All right. What's this? Did you go over the stinker? I'm sorry.
Stinker.
Totally zoned out.
You were busy checking email and stuff. Stinker of the week is Remember Me with a very boring, pointless.
Guy.
He's not a vampire in this, but he might as well should be. I hated this movie. He turns into
one at some point, I'm sure.
I wish he did, and I would have taken Sparkly Vampires over this garbage any day. It is the most deliberately angsty. Just so trying to pull, you know, you see these movies that they try so hard to like, oh, we're just going to really try and make them cry. Like, remember that movie?
We're just going to rip people's hearts out. And yeah, it's so obvious. It's not like Pixar where you just hate them at the end because they did it and you didn't even see it coming.
Yeah. No, I saw this one coming. I saw this coming. So it's such an awful, awful, awful movie. I don't want to talk about it anymore. Let's move on.
Fair enough. Time to wrap up some reviews. We had two this week, Night and Day, which I said kind of sucks because I was pretty disappointed.
I said kind of rocks because it's okay, but it's not great. Probably more of a rental. Yeah.
And then you saw Grown Ups.
Which sucks.
Next week, we've got a huge week on our hands. We have The Last Airbender, the latest from M. Night Shyamalan. And
you're such a racist.
The Twilight Saga Eclipse. We will complete the Devil's Trilogy by reviewing Twilight.
The Devil's Trilogy, which has four parts and now five parts because they're splitting up the fifth. Yeah.
It's like a baker's dozen. It's not exactly a dozen.
Yeah.
Anyway, in the meantime, go over to fatguysthemovies.com. Check out all the craziness that's happening over there.
Crazy.
Several podcasts that are not as boring as this one.
That Scorn Dog things are way better than this.
That Scorn Dog, it's Scorn Dog approved.
Yes.
So if you're listening to this, there's better out there. But that's all we have for this week. It's time to send you out into the world of movies, and you know, talk to you next week.
Enjoy yourselves.